Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike. All right, welcome to Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. This is your host, Michael Shanks. Unfortunately, Steven couldn't join us for this episode, but we got a special guest today who will be joining me at the virtual coffee table. We're going to kind of revisit The Last Jedi. So without further ado, here's Aaron McCoy.
Yes. Hi there. My name is Aaron McCoy. I host a YouTube channel called Geek with a Bible. So far, it's just been kind of like a Bible study, but I do want to get more into the geek culture coming up. I've always wanted to do a defensive Last Jedi episode. So this is kind of, you can see this almost as like a preview edition of what's to come on there.
Nice. All right. Let's do our little sounder. I got a new sounder, so I want to try this out. Ready?
Ooh, fancy.
All right.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Someone to see you, honey. Jedi by the looks of him.
You want a cup of Jawa juice?
Oh, yes, thank you.
You want to buy some death sticks?
You don't want to sell me death sticks.
I don't want to sell you death sticks.
You want to go home and rethink your life?
I want to go home and rethink my life.
That's great.
All right, so I got my cold brew coffee this morning. You got anything to drink, Aaron?
Yeah, I've got just some... I think it's homemade Starbucks. Something I've been doing lately is adding some hot chocolate in with it. So you get kind of the mocha flavor, homemade mocha there.
Well, we're using up the last of our winter blend from, I can't think of the name of the grocery store. Anyway.
Yeah. The good stuff.
All right. So.
Yes.
You contacted me after we did our Last Jedi episode, which Steven and I both said, we agreed that it was our least favorite Star Wars episode.
Yes.
And you expressed that you would like to defend The Last Jedi, which I thought would be a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's definitely good to have more of a back and forth on these things instead of just, which, I mean, you guys had some times of defending it. You weren't, you didn't say Kathleen Kennedy destroyed my life or anything like that, as you hear. But I like it. I mean, so what I place it as, I think I put it above Solo, Attack of the Clones, and Rise of the Skywalker is where I have it.
Wow.
So which we could talk about. Yeah, we can say why some of those are,
you know,
ups and downs.
That's interesting that you put it above Attack of the Clones, because Attack of the Clones used to be my least favorite.
Yeah, you know what? I would say the same thing as well. And the debate I had, so I actually now, and this was a hard choice, I actually now put it a little bit above Solo, because I'll say why, and also why I put it above Rise of Skywalker. I think both Last Jedi and Attack of the Clones, they have big highs and really big lows. Like, it swings really far. There's some stuff in Rise of Skywalker that I love. There's some stuff in it that I think is great. And then there's some stuff that's just frustrating. That's just really like, oh, why did you do it that way? If you just made this tweak here, if you just did that there, it would have been so much better. As to where both Solo and Rise of Skywalker, they're just kind of steady goodness. You know, there's not as much, like with Solo, I don't think there's anything like frustrating at all about Solo.
Oh, I can name something frustrating from Solo.
okay.
I love Solo. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great movie. I enjoyed it. I like the whole Western aspect of it.
Sure.
You know, how it has that cowboy feel to it.
Sure.
I felt George Lucas originally wanted that, and I felt they captured it really well with that movie.
Which Mandalorian has definitely picked up on as
right,
well.
Right. Mandalorian's been fantastic too.
Oh, yeah.
When you go Western, I think, Mandalorian is definitely. Which we discussed that in the last and in our previous podcast where we talked about DC films and we went into Serenity a little bit. And I actually compared Serenity and Firefly. I kind of made the analogy that they were actually the prelude to The Mandalorian. They were kind of like the first space cowboy.
I can see that.
But anyway, the thing that I don't like about Solo is actually L3. She is the most annoying character in the entire Star Wars universe. I do not like that character, and I don't like the fact that they incorporated her into the Millennium Falcon
because
she feels like she hates Han Solo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to have a character you hate, Han Solo, be the conscience of the Millennium Falcon. So that drives me insane.
And someone that was all about liberation to be forever enslaved inside of a ship.
Yes, I mean, right. That, pardon the expression, but that would be like her hell.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. It's. I will agree there. Although I do love the scene when she's freeing all the robots in there. I think that's fun.
That is a fun scene. I agree.
Yeah, I can definitely give you that. And also, you know, the whole little, like, you know, the backstory of like, oh, this is everything you need to know about Han Solo. Look, oh, some random guy names him, you know. Oh, yeah. Hey, how did he get his gun? Oh, somebody gave it to him. Yeah. It's just, yeah, all that stuff gets kind of dumb, but it's still a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's still solid. But as I said, it doesn't have really, I don't think it reaches any of the highs that some of the other films do.
Well, let's go back to The Last Jedi. So we diverted into Solo there. So
absolutely.
So we'll go back. Yes. We'll turn back to The Last Jedi. So what are the things that you really enjoy about Last Jedi?
So mostly what I love is the Luke, Rey, Kylo story. Because, I mean, you kind of got the three different stories going around. And I think that whole dynamic, that whole thing with you know, crotchety old Luke, which I know some people hate. I know some people despise that.
I have a love-hate relationship with that.
Yes. So one of the things that I think people get with that, with that they don't like about it, is that they say, no, that's not what Luke was like. You know, Luke was this optimistic, always looked on the bright side, always believed in hope.
Yeah.
Who's this guy? You know, like you said, oh, it's Jake Skywalker.
That was Mark's words, actually. That's Mark Hamill's words, not mine.
That is true.
I was just repeating what he said.
Yeah, so I'm taking on Mark Hamill himself and telling him he's wrong about his care. So I definitely
good luck.
I understand the hubris of what I'm doing, but Luke always had this sort of quick temper. You see this throughout it. You know, Ben, tell him I'm ready, and hits his head. And you know, in Jedi, you know, Vader finds that point of oh, maybe I can get your sister to turn, and he just loses it, and he is just wailing on him, and that was what Yoda showed him in the cave. It's sure. Like, if you dig into this anger, if you dig into this hate, if you go into this, you will become Vader. You are going to become that. And
well, if you notice also, each time Luke meets Vader for a duel, Luke is the first one to ignite his lightsaber too.
Yes, that's
and
true.
I've always said that's not the Jedi way. That's
that's true. That's true.
And
yeah,
he does it in Return of the Jedi also. And at that point, I think he's a full fledged Jedi.
Yeah,
and I'm like, he didn't learn. He did not learn.
Yeah, and Luke didn't. You know, we often think of him as being this, like, you know, top Jedi of the best. It's like, no, he was sort of what they had to work with. I mean, he didn't receive
the
since childhood training. You know, I mean, this guy was, you know, had a crash course in Jediism like nobody else had, barely passed. And so he definitely still had some issues. He was
kind of sounds like me in high school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but then he has all this weight on his shoulders of that he's become this legend when really, I mean, he's just a guy. I mean, he's just a human being, but yet he has all this weight of, you are the chosen one. You are the one who's going to bring balance to the force and change everything and make it all the way that it should be. And with that weight on him, whenever, because like people say, oh, you know, Luke, now he's trying to kill his grandson. I don't think he was, it was that same kind of flare up. That same kind of quick, you know, oh, I got to do, you know, he takes out the lightsaber. But I there's nothing in me that believes that he would have killed Ben whenever he
now,
was in that pit.
Okay, now, there are, I say it's my least favorite, and it is.
Sure.
It is definitely my least favorite.
Sure.
There are aspects of Last Jedi that I actually like that other people don't like, which I always find interesting. And I think it's interesting you bring that factor up, because I have always said I don't think we got enough context to understand that scene, you know.
Yes,
and this is why I'm pushing for Mara Jade to rejoin the Star Wars universe.
That'd be great,
because I think if Mara Jade was brought into it, and we bring her into it, and then we actually have Kylo Ren be the one who kills Mara Jade. Which goes back to the series I'm reading right now.
Okay.
Because in the series I'm reading now, Jason Solo, which was Han and Leia's kids in the previous expanded universe, Jason Solo turns to the dark side, and Jason, spoiler alert, kills Mara Jade. Now, I think if we put Kylo in that position and we have him kill Mara Jade and him destroy the Jedi Temple and destroy the younglings that Luke is teaching, I think that gives more perspective of why Luke would have these feelings going, I have to kill him, because he's going to just be another Darth Vader. So I think we're missing context there.
And there's certainly, I think, a lot of times how you approach these films depends on how you enjoy them. Because, I mean, I'm a very optimistic person. I want to enjoy these as much as possible. So I will try to read into things, fill in the cracks. And now, is that bad filmmaking that you have to do that? Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, it is.
I agree. You should be able to go into a film, understand it, and walk out going, okay, I get it. You shouldn't have to go, all right, well, now I got to go buy 10 comic books and two book series to figure out what in the world they meant.
Exactly.
I totally agree. All that should be just filler, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, because I used to say this about the prequels as well, because I'm an English major, I'm an English teacher. And, you know, we'd read all this classic mythology and Arthurian legends and all this medieval literature. And it reminded me a lot of like the prequels in Last Jedi, that like it's there.
Sure.
It's in the story, but you got to dig for it. You really have to try to say, well, wait a minute, what did he mean by that word there? And what did they mean by this? And so it's like, I see both with the prequels and with Last Jedi, I see what they were trying to do. I see what they were attempting to get at. Now, especially like with the Finn and Rose story, like that's the one that frustrates me the most of Last Jedi. Oh. The Finn and Rose story is... it's terrible.
I agree. But, it is. It's forced. Completely.
Yes. But I see what he was trying to do, and he failed miserably at it. So I guess I have some appreciation of what he was going for, but it still is just a nightmare. But my love of the Luke, Rey, Kylo stuff is enough to kind of thwart it. And you know, I'd also say something else with, you know, I mean, you could say this about the whole series, a defense, I would say. I would love it if we can stop calling Rey a Mary Sue, because, and I'll say this.
Uh-oh.
Now, in case you're unfamiliar with the term.
Okay, you can explain it for the audience. Go ahead.
Sure. A Mary Sue is essentially a character who just has everything perfect. Everything is great. They're good at everything. And there's no reason for it. They didn't earn it. They didn't fight for it. They didn't struggle. And just everything is great all the time. And there's no struggle. And they just kind of lolly-da, skip through life. Everything's wonderful. But my argument, which there is a lot of that.
This is where you and I are going to disagree. Because I think she is a Mary Sue. Sorry.
No. It's my this is why I'm here.
I'm all ears. I want to hear your defense on this. I like this.
So her biggest challenge is an emotional challenge. So okay. It's something that the thing of being bent on her parents, the thing of not being able to be her own person, the thing of not being able to take her own path, her own way of everything that she is, every single bit of her identity, of her self-worth is all on her parents. So she does have this weakness. She does have this struggle.
Sure.
And I also love when Snoke just manhandles her. When she goes in, because you have this whole thing of, oh, I'm the best, I can do this. And she goes in with all this confidence. Man, that guy just flings her around like she's powerless, absolutely powerless in the face of Snoke. And I appreciated that. I appreciated that sort of, you know, after all of these unearned wins of just being like, okay, I've gone way over my head. I really have no idea what I'm doing. You know, and he's just throwing her around every attempt that she tries to get the lightsaber, and he just smacks her with it. And, you know, I think that's just a great scene with her. And,
oh, I like the scene. I think it is a fantastic scene. In fact, imagery, you know, the imagery of The Last Jedi is one of the best. It's a beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't argue that in at all.
Sure.
But I, you gotta admit, her and Kylo take out Snoke like a punk, you know. and at that moment, you know, Snoke was so intriguing to me.
Yes.
Until that moment, and then I went, well, now he makes no difference at all. He's completely gone. Who cares?
Yeah.
And now, and that was a huge letdown for me.
Sure. Sure. And it was funny because that was all the things that I mean, one of the things J.J. Abrams really succeeded with of Force Awakens was making us intrigued about what was to come.
Right. Exactly.
People were getting into, you know, the oh, what's going to happen here? It felt like whenever I used to watch Lost as well, which was J.J. Abrams, you know, he would create these questions of what is this? What is that? And people would dig
now,
in.
I never watched Lost, so I have no knowledge of Lost whatsoever.
You need to watch. Well,
I've heard the ending is bad, though.
Here's what I'll say about Lost real quick. There's two things you watch Lost for. You watch it for the characters, and you watch it for the mystery.
Okay.
The characters, which literally I would say is the best group of characters I've ever seen in any story. Okay. And I think that most of their endings are well. The mystery stuff is not 100% satisfying at the end. But even if you just watch like the first two, three seasons, it's definitely worth watching.
Okay.
But it had that kind of intrigue, you know, for Last Jedi, of what's going to happen, what's going to happen. And then so much of it was just, oh, no, he dies. Oh, she's nobody. Oh, there's, you know.
Oh, and so I hate the she's nobody thing. I hate that.
So here's what I'll say about that. So I'll kind of this is some if we get into some correction of what could have been done better with Last Jedi, or even with I think could have even been fixed with Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, I'm not saying Rise of Skywalker is a perfect film.
Oh, no. But I think that, because I know they tried to fix a few of the problems from Last Jedi, but it was kind of those same things where maybe we can fill in the blanks here and there. I think that if it would have been more clear about Snoke being a puppet of Palpatine, if they would have done more with that, I think it could have been more interesting. Sure. Now, I will say this. So last time on the last episode, you said one of the biggest problems that you had was how it seemed like Rey was a descendant of somebody, because you said it belonged to your to Vader,
right.
It went to the sun, now it calls to you. So,
which is one of my favorite scenes in The Force Awakens.
Yes. Now, this might cause other problems, but okay, hear me out. This might fix a few things.
Okay.
Who was Anakin's father?
No one. He didn't have a father.
So there was the scene with Palpatine and Anakin when they're at the opera and he's talking about Darth Plagueis.
Right.
And he says, and he could manipulate the Force to create.
And I've read Darth Plagueis, by the way, which is a fantastic book. I've heard it.
I've heard that that's
oh
a
Oh my
great
gosh.
Book.
You should read it. You really should.
I will do my best. I will try.
or at least get the audio. It's fantastic. And if you go by that, honestly, mm-hmm. I believe that Palpatine is actually Anakin's father.
Yes.
If you take it for what it is.
Yeah, and Luke is actually deleted. He did have a line in Revenge of the Sith where Palpatine told Anakin that he was the one who did it and actually even said, I am your father. But I am actually kind of glad that he took that out because it makes it a little more mysterious. But I would have loved it.
Well, and then we get into the aspect of Kylo Ren and Rey, which, by the way, I hate. I hate that relationship. I don't like it.
I don't like it as much of a romantic relationship. I don't mind
them having a connection.
Yeah,
I don't mind that. That's fine.
Yes,
but this whole romantic thing, I never felt it. Honestly, I felt that JJ was mm-hmm. leading towards Finn and Rey, mm-hmm. and I actually like that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the idea of shipping, but
yeah.
I know that's the term. So yeah, if I was going to ship anyone, that would be the two I would ship.
Sure.
So then when we went down this path of Kylo and, mm-hmm. and Rey, and then of course then we have the Rose and Finn, which I absolutely—that is so forced. I hate it.
Oh, it's awful. It comes out of nowhere. I mean, there's nothing leading up to it.
Exactly.
And you know, complete overstep of boundaries of her just kissing him out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And after he was trying to sacrifice his life and she stopped him from doing that for
he
no
could
good
have
reason.
Had a hero's ending.
Yeah.
And I hate that he didn't, you know?
Yeah. And 'cause he wasn't even really used on Rise of Skywalker either. So no. It's not like they saved him for some great.
Exactly. You know. They should have let him go and have a hero's ending like it. They were heading towards. I think that would have been a great ending for Finn. And I think that would have changed a little bit of my feelings towards the movie too.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. That's.
I don't know. It sounds like you're leaning a little more to my side.
Well, if we're talking about Finn and Rose, yes, 100%. I remember there was one time I watched it and I just skipped over all of their scenes. I just skip.
Oh, well, the Canto like, Bite should just be cut out of the movie. There's no point in it. It's terrible.
And especially with the thing of, oh, we're gonna save the big, you know, puppy dogs. Oh, but not the kids. No, they can stay enslaved. That's children. Who needs to save children? No.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna get in. No, I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but as I said, no, I do like what they were trying to do with his story. Because really, sure. Now. To go into a deeper level of this film, and this is why I think it grades against so many people, why it's so rough. And I'll even take on, you guys didn't have this criticism, but what some other people say.
Well, now, like I said, there are things that I liked about the film that mm-hmm. other people didn't like.
Sure,
Like we were talking earlier about, before we started recording, Princess Leia.
Yeah.
When I saw that in the theater, when mm-hmm. I saw her fly back.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the visual was bad. I agree with that. You know.
Yeah.
But when I saw it in the theater initially, I wasn't thinking about the visual at all. It mm-hmm. it did not even come to my mind that she looked like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
What came to my mind was, wow, we're actually seeing Princess Leia actually use the Force for the first time.
Yeah, we got that John Williams score blaring, you know, and it's,
I was
absolutely
excited. And then afterwards, I get on social media and I'm like, oh, everyone hated that scene. Oh, I'm supposed to hate this scene, but I don't really hate it.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I like, I do. It does annoy me a little bit whenever people are in space with no, when they don't explode in space. That's something that annoys me.
Well, now, if you're going to go down that, but there's no gravity. There's no sound.
Yeah,
there's no fire. And
I know.
You have to take it in context of the Star Wars universe. So all those things exist in the Star Wars universe. They don't exist in our reality. So I get what you're saying, but you got to take it in context.
I can forgive it. I can definitely forgive it. That's one of those things that I agree. I was giddy whenever it happened. I was like, oh yes, she's actually using the Force, and it was great. And then also even the whole scene of when Kylo he's about to blow her up and doesn't, and then people blow it up anyways. I mean, that's a great scene.
Oh yeah.
What leads to that? That stuff's great. But all right, so we're gonna go into some deep waters for a moment. But we're geeks with a microphone. We can go into the weeds. So Star Wars is based on classical storytelling. It's based a lot of Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung. These ideas of that there are stories that goes to the soul. There are things that are these great myths that tell us like what life is about, and it's you find it within religion, you find it within mythology, you find it within legend, you find all these things, these similarities, and Star Wars is absolutely trying to capitalize on that, because Star Wars is a mixture of Flash Gordon serial and ancient spiritual legends.
Yep.
Now today we are seeing a rise of postmodernism. So at the core, the idea of postmodernism, to sum it up, says there is no grand narrative. You live, you die, you make your own purpose.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And so Star Wars is in direct conflict of that. Now, Last Jedi, the purpose of Last Jedi is taking on the challenge of, do we need stories? Is there actually some kind of a monomyth deep within our soul? Or is it just, everyone makes your own path and everybody does whatever and who cares, we all die. And most of the filmmaking of it actually takes on postmodern filmmaking. So there was this one film, I had a film class in college. We watched this French film called The Bike Thief. It was about this kid or this guy, his bike is stolen, and the whole movie they're trying to retrieve the bike, and in the end they don't get the bike back and they just go home sad, and that's it. So it's basically the message is, look, sometimes bad things happen. This is just life. There is no grand narrative. You just got to suck it up and go home. Now there are elements of Last Jedi that follows that path, like the whole Finn Rose story. I mean, that's a story of complete failure.
Yeah.
They go to get the Keymaker. It doesn't work. And not only that, but like people die.
Oh, and he was a disappointing character too, by the way.
Yeah, he was.
I had high hopes for him too. And yeah.
Yeah. And I love Benicio del Toro, but like, the whole time I'm just saying, hey, there's stuttering Benicio. I'm not seeing this as his own person.
Right.
It's just, him. I mean, I think I like with Star Wars when they use some like somewhat unknown actors or people who are not as familiar.
Sure.
Definitely helps seeing them as themselves. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of liked him. He's okay. He's all right. The stuttering was a little weird, but he's okay. Not what you would expect from someone of his caliber. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I definitely was not expecting that of that character.
But their whole story is this thing of, because Finn, he kind of starts off with where he's just looking after himself. He's not part of the resistance. He's not part of the fight. Originally, he was just like, I can't be with the First Order. I got to get away. Right. And his only real allegiance is to Rey, is that he wants to help Rey.
And I like that part of his story, actually.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing that's so frustrating about that aspect of the movie, is that if they would have fleshed it out more, as I said, what they're going for is definitely interesting. But you see that Finn, he goes from, I don't care, I just want to have my, just be myself. Then he goes to believing that these people are evil. We do, the resistance is, they're not just bad, they're evil. We really should do something to fight them. Although there's no action involved with it, you know, he just kind of listens to different people's speeches. You know, I don't really see why he went from "I just need to find Rey" to "I'm going to kill myself to save everyone." It's not believable. It's, as I said, no. It's a good story and terrible storytelling. So he goes from that, but then you get into, so we're talking about DJ. So he gets into the thing of showing. Now, look, he says, you know, good guys, bad guys, you know, it's all the same. It's all just, they're all part of the same thing. There's not, you know, like within postmodernism, there's this idea that the only thing that exists is power.
And here's the thing. Okay. Uh-huh. I agree with him in that sense. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like, we try not to get political on this show, but
sure, yeah.
I'm going to use a slight political analogy, so forgive me.
Sure, yeah.
But it's just kind of like the same saying of right wing, left wing, mm-hmm. but it's still part of the same bird.
Sure.
So I get what he's saying there. But here's the thing. I don't go to see Star Wars to get real life politics. I go to Star Wars to escape that stuff.
Yes. Now, what's one of the interesting things is, though, because, like, I know Lucas was originally – he was inspired by Vietnam whenever he was creating the original stories.
Well, Vietnam and also World War II.
Yes,
yes. Because all the dogfights, they're all taken from World War II footage. And stuff,
yes.
Which is really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many mixtures and so many different influences that
But yeah, with the rebellion fighting the Empire and stuff like that. Yeah, I get it. That was taken a lot.
Yeah, and it's the good thing is that it's subtle enough within the original films. It's there.
Right.
But it's subtle enough that I can kind of put in my own interpretation.
Sure,
of,
he's not
okay,
preachy about it.
That's, yes, yes. Right. And there are, I will agree, there's a couple times that they might get a little they dip their toes in preachy maybe here and there with Last Jedi. But so I would agree with you of that thing of that there's huge issues on both the left and the right. I'll, you know, if you're interested in this, I just did a whole video on my YouTube channel on classism. And so if you want to go into the political route, things like that, if you are, anyways, that's shameless plug. Geek with the Bible.
No, you go ahead and plug. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But the thing that I would say, though, is that there's still this belief, even though both the left and the right have they're mirrored in the same problem. We do believe that there is a truth, that there is something of goodness, that there is something that's right and wrong that we're going to. As to where within DJ, I don't think it's even just political, but to every type of moral, to every kind of structure of right and wrong, it's like it's not there. You know, you just got to kind of fend for yourself, do what you can, right. You know, which makes sense why he betrayed them.
Sure.
Because, well, there is no greater right or wrong.
He doesn't see a loyalty to either side.
Exactly. And, exactly.
But the sad thing is he would also betray their side, too.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah,
there's no 100%.
Loyalty.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's if it's going to work for him, it's going to work.
I think that's one of the reasons I don't like that character.
it's because they lead you to think that this is going to be a Han Solo type character.
Right. Yeah.
They make you think, oh, this is going to be a corrupt guy who turns out to be good. Mm-hmm. When it's like, no, he's corrupt. which is sort of the new, I don't know, the new surprise kind of thing, or the new, like, oh, I didn't see that coming, of actually having the bad people actually be bad people. That's, you know, it's like Lotso Hugging Bear on Toy Story 3 when you think he's going to save them. Oh. And then he just, nope, see ya. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Well, see, yeah, but that's why I like Vader. You know who Vader is. That's why I like Boba Fett. You know who Boba Fett is. You know who Luke Skywalker is, Yoda. Mm-hmm. I love all those characters, but I know who they are, you know.
Yes.
And they're true to themselves.
Sure.
So.
Sure. And yeah. No, I hear you. I definitely hear you. But a lot, and you do see some of the same sentiment with Luke, of him talking about the thing of grand narratives. And so some people within postmodernism would say these ideas of grand narratives are harmful, because anytime you create an ideal, something that you're trying to achieve, some type of way of being that's the right way to be, you've created a judge. Because whenever you do not follow that, well, now I feel judged. Now I feel shame. Now I feel guilt because I haven't been able to meet what this ideal is.
Right.
And so Luke is saying, you know, look, because I had all this, you know, this legend about me, because I became this ideal, you know, I was entrusted with their child, but I'm not this ideal. I'm not this great grand, you know, master of the universe. I'm just a farm kid who used to blast swamp rats with my T-16 Navigator. You know, this
great line too.
Yeah.
good quote.
So he, and having to wrestle with that and the fact that he does still have problems, that he does still have issues. So his thought is, well, we just need to let it go and let it die. And I've heard some people defend Last Jedi saying, taking Kylo Ren's line of where he says, you know, let the past die, kill it if you have to.
Lord have mercy.
But it's like, you know, that's the villain saying that. That's sure. Not what Rian Johnson's saying.
I agree. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. That's what the postmodernists are saying is we need to just do away with the past, do away with whatever was built before, do away with whatever the government is right now, whatever type of religion that you have, whatever story, we just need to do away with it as to where what the story is actually saying is no. Don't do away with the past, but learn from your failure. Because that's what Yoda, which I love right. The scene with Yoda and Luke. I love that. That is
I
great.
Do too. I do too. That's a great scene.
Oh. Yeah, that one, Luke with R2 is wonderful.
Oh yeah.
Luke with anybody from the old movies is just it's magic. I love it. But yeah, and so this is the message. This is the thing of take what we had from the past, take what was good. You know, we got all this cancel culture and all the, you know, all these different things going on. It's like, no, we're not going to just distinguish the past. We're going to learn from it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to learn from our failures. We're going to build on it. We're going to make things better. We're going to improve upon what was before. And we shouldn't do away with it. Because even in the end, it ends with these kids telling the story of Luke Skywalker taking on, you know, the whole resistance with a laser sword.
And you know, so that's another scene that people critiqued and didn't mm-hmm. like, and I actually liked it.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, to me it was like, well, that was me. That was yeah. me when I was a kid. I'm playing with my action. I'm still playing with my action figure.
Yeah, I got back here. I got a couple of toys, and my son keeps trying to take some of the Funko Pop toys and wants to play with them, and I go, no, that's daddy's toy. That's there you go. There's oh, is that favorite. An original?
Well, this is one of the retro ones, but I have about 10 of the originals also.
That's beautiful.
I mean,
that's
I have great. 10 Boba Fetts of the originals. I got tons of originals. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Wonderful. No, that's great. It's great. I love that scene too. I think it's great. And it's in the end is telling you about the power of story, about the power of, you know, classical storytelling, about the whole monomyth, everything that Star Wars stands for is this movie is a defense of it. But I think that it takes the accusations. It's so full of the postmodern stuff that's coming against it, right. People have then said, oh, well, this is all postmodernism, and they've missed that it's actually fighting against these ideas.
Okay. All right. I get what you're saying. Because I think I look at it more as a postmodern film, and maybe that's one of the reasons I don't like it that much.
Yeah. And because postmodern storytelling doesn't work. So the fact that they use those techniques to tell the story, it harms it. It really does harm a lot of the and I will say this is the strongest argument I've heard against Last Jedi. They said, like, look, you can get philosophical, you can say this or that or in the end it's like, but if I'm bored, I don't care. I think that
a lot of this type of storytelling kind of started in the 90s where we started getting more into and I'm guilty of enjoying these types of characters, but we started getting into the characters who were they played both sides of the fence. you know.
Okay. Yeah, kind of your anti-heroes.
Yeah, yeah, your anti-heroes. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
So and I enjoy the anti-heroes.
Sure.
In fact, Deathstroke is one of my all-time favorite DC characters. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't consider Batman an anti-hero, but let's face it, he pushes the line.
Oh yeah. He pushes. Yeah, and that's what makes him right. So fascinating. Yeah, he's right on.
And I enjoy that. I enjoy that mm-hmm. very much. But I think we over the 90s and then into the 2000s, we pushed that further and further, and we blurred the line so much that we no longer look for happy endings whatsoever. Mm. And that was one of the things that I always enjoyed about the original Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first film, we had a definite happy ending,
because
mm-hmm. The rebellions win in the end. The Empire, we had a cliffhanger, which mm-hmm. I loved. Left it open. You felt a little bit like, oh crap, our heroes didn't win in this one. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Which led up to the huge victory at the end of Return of the Jedi. So
yes.
we get a good happy ending at that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't feel like we get that much in films anymore, because we've come to this conclusion that well, life doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, movies are supposed to be an escapism from life. It's not supposed to mimic life, you know? I mean, sure, there are movies out there that are supposed to mimic life. But let's face it, science fantasy, and that's what Star Wars is. It's science fantasy.
Yeah.
It's not science fiction.
Yeah.
It's science fantasy. Science fantasy should have a happy ending to it.
Yeah, and that's one of the weird things with this, The Last Jedi, is how, I mean, that whole movie, like, they're just getting pummeled the entire thing. I mean, constantly losing, constantly on the edge. But then at the end, they're all kind of smiling and trying to be happy. It's like, wait a minute, What are you so happy for? Everyone just died.
Yeah. Everyone died. No one wants anything to do with you. They won't talk to you.
Yeah.
In a sense, they were canceled.
Yeah.
That just struck me.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and it's yeah, and like you can kind of, you know, like you said, the cliffhanger. Like I loved Infinity War, you know, the end of that, even though that was, you know, ending with the villains winning, but you knew there was more to come. You knew that wasn't the end of it. You knew that there was more on the way. And yeah, and hope. I mean, the whole thing of Star Wars is essentially hope.
Yeah,
it's kind of a key idea. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the whole thing of Star Wars, is showing hope and showing, despite the darkest and as bad as things can get, you know, that there's still hope to come. I mean, that's kind of, Revenge of the Sith had that kind of ending too.
Sure.
I mean, that was definitely one of, you know, we're down, we're out, but there's still hope. There's still hope there.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me see if there's some other things that were good about it, or things that were, I'm got some notes here. So that's one of the things. So you're talking about the modern stories of how it's hard with where we've blurred that line too much, where we don't know even what's right or wrong within our own storytelling. You know, I see that a lot with Poe's story, of how, you know, like the message of that was, hey, you know, sometimes you just need to follow orders. Like we love the rebel characters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of that comes from our American heritage, you know, of rebellion, of saying we're gonna, you know,
we were the scrappers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Stinking Brits, not going to control us. And so we really respond to that. We really respond to these messages of rebellion. But even within rebellions, you've got to have some kind of order. You know, you've got to have some kind of hierarchy and some kind of a chain of command and all of that. And I don't think I've ever seen a film that actually said, hey, you know what, sometimes you do need to just trust us and follow orders. Which once again, may be a good life lesson, but it doesn't always work well on film for some reason.
Maybe it's just not fun in a film, you know?
Sure.
I mean, no one wants to follow orders, really.
Yeah.
You know, that telling somebody, oh, well, you got to follow orders, that doesn't seem like fun. It doesn't seem like escapism. Mm-hmm. So I get that, and to an extent. I see where you're coming. You sure should follow orders. But to me, it didn't feel like Holdo? Is that Holdo? I can't think of what
Holdo. Yeah, I always get confused with the Game of Thrones guy, the Holdor.
Oh, I've never watched Game of Thrones, okay, so I have no clue.
That's fine. Yeah, no.
Whatever her character's name is. See, I'm not
fun. Purple hair. Yeah.
I liked her better in Jurassic Park, let's face it.
I agree.
She was fantastic in Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
But, it felt like, well, first of all, you brought her in, and they expected us to all immediately love her and respect her as some kind of leader for you can't even call them the Rebellion. They're the
Resistance.
Yeah, Resistance, which I hate, too.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we just use the original terms? Why did we have to change everything? Anyway, but they expected us to just immediately accept her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know who Leia is, and I respect Leia. I love Leia. I could see Leia doing that part, okay? Mm-hmm. And honestly, Admiral Akbar should have been the one to play that part. She had no point whatsoever. Well, you can cut her out and put Admiral Akbar, and then Admiral Akbar goes out as a hero. Mm-hmm. His death.
Yeah, I will. His death off screen with no, like, that's
wrong.
Unforgivable.
That's
horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I'll definitely give you that. But I will challenge that idea in that, because the whole purpose of her thing was that we're not supposed to trust her. We're supposed to think, oh, this girl is some, you know, high and mighty feminist who's just trying to put Poe in his place, and that he's, you know, they're not.
That is the way I felt about her.
Yeah. Yeah. But then the problem that the movie faced, though, is that they didn't redeem her enough. Because then they have her and Leia talking, and she's giving her wisdom. And Leia even says, oh, no, you be the one to say, may the Force be with you. I've said it enough. No, you she has not earned that place.
I agree. They're,
yeah, so I get what they were doing. I get why you couldn't have had Akbar or what's her name? Mon Mothma. Yeah, I've heard some people say she should have been that place, but the whole idea was that we weren't.
Ooh, I never thought about Mon Mothma. Mm-hmm. I would respect her too.
Yeah,
but she's a character we've known, and you know, she's to the casual fan, she's a lesser character, but to geeks like us who really delve into the history of Star Wars and stuff, Mon Mothma is actually a huge character.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have respected her way much more if it was Mon Mothma.
But see, that's the problem, though, is because we're supposed to be wary of her. We're supposed to be on Poe's side saying, I don't trust this crazy purple hair lady. But the problem is that they do not turn it around enough to redeem her. They never get. Now, it was cool. I mean, I guess, yes, she did go down with the ship and did the whole, you know, light speed destruction thing, which was pretty cool. But there's still what, and I mean, I know that opens up a whole other world of like, well, why didn't they shoot a cruiser at the Death Star? But I mean, apparently
that's a plot hole that.
Yeah, I mean, in Last Jedi, or not Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, they said something about like, oh, that was a one in a million. You can't, you know, kind of.
Oh, the what is it? Light speed skipping thing. Gosh.
See, I kind of like that. I actually like that scene.
I have a love-hate relationship with that film.
Sure. Yeah. No. Well, I think that's the weird thing with Star Wars. This is the thing I cannot wrap my mind around. It's like we've got like one or two films that are perfect, and then we've got all these flawed masterpieces. So many of these films, it's so weird because they hit these highs that are so high that I love so much, but then they got all this really annoying, grating stuff all scattered throughout it as well. And it's just which to me, it shows that we care, you know.
Right,
it shows that we care about it. And part of being a Star Wars fan is sometimes kind of hating Star Wars and learning how to
like it.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I kind of agree with that statement, because you know, the prequels mm-hmm. took a lot of hate over the years. And
yeah.
And I always say that I see the prequels through my daughter's and my nephew's mm-hmm. eyes.
Yes.
I didn't see it through my own eyes. I saw mm-hmm. it through their eyes. My Star Wars is the original. It's Star Wars Empire and Return. Those are my Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But the prequels are my daughter's and my nephew's Star Wars.
Sure.
So I was excited through them. Mm-hmm. Were there problems? Sure, there were problems. But, you know, the prequels actually gave me some characters that I absolutely love to this day still. The prequels made me love Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, the original trilogy, I enjoyed Obi-Wan. I liked old Ben, but mm-hmm. I never had any real connection to him.
Sure.
And then
sure.
when the prequels came out, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love this character. He's mm-hmm. he's one of the best things about the prequels.
Yeah.
So we got him. We got Qui-Gon, which I would have loved to have more of Qui-Gon. Mm-hmm. I love his wisdom. Yeah. He's just a fantastic character.
So, absolutely.
So there were aspects of that, but it took so much hate. But I think over time, people have actually come to really respect those films.
Yes.
A lot differently than what they did when they originally saw them. So. Yeah. Maybe the same thing will happen with the sequels. Maybe over time we will come to respect them more.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's definitely possible. And we will see. I think that, because I think in some ways that people get so angry is whenever, you know, you mess with characters and you mess with preconceived notions. Because I think, because I haven't gone too deep into like a lot of the books or a lot of the expanded universe. Which I know you guys, you know, read a lot of the books and things. And so whenever you see...
I do. Steven doesn't.
Okay. So whenever you see what you were expecting Luke was going to be, and he was something completely different in this.
Yes.
I think that was very grating and jarring for a lot of fans. It's like, no, that's not what it's supposed to be. And same thing with a lot of... you know, a lot of other characters within the prequels of whenever you're messing with who you thought these people were, you know, you see some of their backstories or see where they go, and it's it can be very frustrating. But I think that if you there is a thing of that of for future generations. Like, I don't think future generations will be as upset at surly old Luke. You know,
right?
We'll see. But I mean, I know I'm here to defend the film, but I'll say this about the whole Disney trilogy, the biggest letdown, I would say, of it. So I can definitely say that the story of episode 1 to 6 is a better story than episode 4 to 6. So despite some of the flaws of the prequels, it's a better story. I love seeing Anakin, you know, his whole, that whole arc, seeing all of that. It is a better story. I can't necessarily say that episode 1 to 9 is a better story than 1 to 6.
Okay.
So that's kind of the, like, I don't know. It doesn't flow together as well. And it does, I don't know.
Oh, I agree. It does not flow together.
Yeah. And it's... And each of the films I enjoy on their own right, because I like Rise of Skywalker as well. I do like it. Whenever you look at this trilogy as a whole, like it doesn't fit well together. It's really and I definitely agree with you guys saying that they should have had that Marvel take of okay, here's the main outline. Here's the main things that we need to hit. Now, you can have a lot of creativity, you can do a lot of different things, but this is the essential storyline that we're going to follow.
Right.
And I think that definitely could have helped.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because it
yeah. Okay, so final points.
Sure.
What are the things you like the best about The Last Jedi? Give me a like three final points of what you like the best about Last Jedi.
The best things about Last Jedi, I love what they do with Luke and Kylo and Rey. That whole storyline, I really love. I think it's great. I think it's – and also shows us, you know, kind of the message as well of providing that because here's the thing, we are built for story. We're built for getting back into the whole thing of the grand narratives and the postmodernism. If we're cutting off and saying there is no grand story out there, people are going to go to whatever is offering it. And so I know we're not trying to get too political or whatnot, but I think that, you know, you're seeing a lot of the, you know, QAnon conspiracy theories and all the some of the white supremacist stuff and some of these things. It's like, okay, well, these people are offering a story. Mm-hmm. These people are offering a narrative. They're offering something, just as Kylo Ren was offering Rey something. He's like, I can show you. I can help you. I will be that teacher that you need, as to where Luke is saying, no, we're just done. We're walking away. We're not using the Force. And so I think that as the older generation is rising, we need to be offering something to our younger people of no, this is the way. This is the path. This is what you need to follow, instead of just saying, no, look, I screwed up. I messed up. Don't follow me. Go follow your, you know, whatever. We need to be passing something down.
Sure.
Or else someone else is going to, you know, someone more destructive is going to take that road. I love that. So connected with that, I love that it's taking on postmodernism, because it's a much bigger concept than most Hollywood blockbusters are going to, are going to take on. And those are definitely the biggest points. And then there's a lot of little things and a lot of, and you can have arguments about all kinds of different, all kinds of different elements. And it's not a perfect film, but the core of what it was attempting to do, I think, is very solid.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like how you put it on the perspective of it being a postmodern film, and that the big idea behind it is taking on postmodernism. I never really looked at it from that aspect. So maybe I'll have to rewatch it and kind of try and see it through that perspective. I enjoy that. I like that.
Try the thing where you skip over all the Finn and Poe stuff and see if you like it any better. Cause I did it that time and it was a better film.
Well, now I will say this, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I can find something I enjoy about every single Star Wars film. There isn't any one of them that I can't find something that I don't like.
How about the holiday special?
Oh, I can find things I like. it's incredibly bad, and which makes it kind of intriguing to watch.
It's the most amazing mess I've ever seen.
I can watch that and makes Last Jedi look pretty darn good. All right. Hey,
Something I'm going to do, just kind of giving a heads up. So I've got a Facebook group as well, Geek with the Bible. And in March, I'm going to start doing some geek brackets instead of the Final Four stuff, because I don't watch basketball. So I'm going to start off with Star Wars. We're gonna, each day in March, I'm going to put up a different Star Wars films and have people vote to try to see what's the what is the definitive Star Wars film.
Cool, I'll have to check that out. That sounds cool. All right, well, let's wrap this up.
Sure.
Thank you, Aaron. That was actually a really good discussion. I really liked it.
It was fun.
We're going to have you on again when Steven's here. I think Steven will really enjoy having a conversation with you. So we'll have to pick out another fun topic to talk
absolutely.
About.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
So close it out by make sure you guys go out and check out our Two Geeks and a Microphone Facebook page. Say hi to us over there. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, please. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't like us, please give us 5 stars anyway. All right. So with that, I'm going to close it out. See you next time, and may the Force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the Force be with you.